When we think of Christmas's past, much of our thoughts take us back to our childhood when, well, at least for a while, it felt more blessed to receive than to give. For children, children never worry about shopping unless they're a little concerned their parents might not be up to the task. And Christmas morning is for playing and playing only, not for getting a big lunch ready for all the family. No wonder we look back on Christmas's past with such nostalgia. I think it's safe to say that the people who enjoy Christmas the most are probably children and those who see Christmas through the eyes of a child. I'll never forget when I became a dad and held my son in my hands and my arms. It was like starting Christmas all over again. It was both of the boys. Telling them about Santa and all the wonders and magic of Christmas was like being a child again myself. But what was so meaningful really was telling them the actual and true story of Jesus. That God sent his son to this earth because he loved us so much. And he came to earth in the same way that we all come here as a baby, a helpless baby. And as I would hold my boys as babies in my arms, it reminded me that Jesus was once totally dependent upon his parents for everything. He was a helpless, helpless child. As I thought about how much I loved my boys, it just blew my mind to imagine how much God must love us. Now, as my boys grew and learned to separate the myth from the reality, they too began to understand that Christmas is a picture of God's love. And as they grew up, they eventually accepted God's love with childlike faith because they realized that the only way to understand God, to really know him, is to understand him through the eyes of a child. It's to embrace God with a childlike faith. In the book of Matthew, which is one of our four gospels or biographies of Jesus that we have in the Bible, we see Jesus constantly telling people around him that they need to have the perspective of a child if they ever want to become a Christian, if they ever want to enter the kingdom of God. And one of the stories that prompted him to do that was one day his disciples, his closest followers who knew him best, they were arguing with each other about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God when Jesus established his kingdom. And they at the time believed that he was going to create a political kingdom. And Jesus responded to them with this. He called a little child to him. He placed the child among them and he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, he was talking about being childlike, not childish. Not like my friends and I were when we got new bicycles for Christmas. Man, we rode them all day long, all over the place. We came up with all kinds of games to play with them, playing chicken, racing. But one of our favorite games was seeing how long we could hold our breath as we rode right behind one of the mosquito trucks as it was fogging our neighborhood for mosquitoes. Come on, any of y'all ever do that? Now that's some of you did. I was brave. Yeah, now that's childish. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're going, "Oh, spent a lot of time by mosquito trucks. That explains some things." Come on, it was safe. We held our breath. But I've got to admit, it was a little bit childish. But childlike, that's different. When Jesus talked about being childlike, he was talking about having childlike humility. Childlike faith that could accept the wonder of a creator God who loved us so much that he would actually send his son here for us. Jesus was talking about humility and faith when he said, "Whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." If you want to experience greatness, Jesus told his disciples, you need to learn a few things from children. Well, they didn't. A few days or maybe weeks or maybe even months later, Jesus was in a different part of the country. Bigger and bigger crowds were beginning to follow around him and pressing close to him. And in fact, a lot of parents were bringing their children and babies to Jesus, hoping that he would touch them, bless them, and pray a prayer over them. The disciples, they were telling them to go away, and they were pushing them back. And this is one of the few times we see in the Bible where Jesus actually got angry. And this is what he told his disciples. Again, a second time, he said, Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Anyone who will not change and become like a child, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Christmas is for children. But we're not necessarily talking about age. I'm talking about embracing God with a childlike faith. That's the only way you will ever understand God. At some point, adults, you've got to check your doubts and cynicism at the door and believe and trust the truth that God is speaking into your heart, even right now. Here's a childlike way to explain the Christmas story. Another one of Jesus' followers who came along a little bit later on, we only know of him as by the name of Paul. He was a brilliant man, a brilliant teacher, speaker. He became a missionary. Paul told the Christmas story a little bit differently. He said it like this. He said, "But when the set time had fully come," another way to say that is when the fullness of time had come. That phrase, fullness of time, it means when everything was just right, when everything God had planned, everything God had set up was all ready and the timing was perfect. When the timing was perfect, the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Now that phrase, born under the law, means that he was born subject to the law which says that if you sin, in God's eyes, you deserve the death penalty. Now, that's pretty harsh. It's a pretty harsh way to tell the Christmas story because all of us sin. But that's exactly why we have Christmas. That's exactly why God sent his son, Jesus, to the world to redeem us, to pay back, to pay our sin penalty and bring us back into his family and adopt us into his forever family. You see, when we think about the love of God, it's all about adoption. Adoption is one of the most beautiful ways to explain and describe God's love. I want you to see an adoption story we have here.
So my name is Sam Riesecker, and this is my adoption story. Sometimes when I tell people that I'm adopted, I can tell in their facial expressions or in their body language that they kind of relate being adopted to a sad or unfortunate event. And I can't speak for every adopted person, but the words unwanted or unloved, they're just not a part of my story. There's just a very clear underlying theme, and that's love. In 1982, Lorraine and Russ Russick had been married for about 12 years, and after having trouble conceiving and health issues, they decided that adoption would be the way that they added children to their family. With that in mind, they told their adoption caseworker that they would be open to adopting a special needs child. In 1985 then, both my birth parents were in college, and neither were in a position where they were able to provide the life that they wanted for me. So my birth mom chose adoption. Shortly after I was born, a few hours after I was born, I stopped breathing. And because of that, the doctors admitted me to the neonatal ICU. I spent 12 days in the hospital, and my birth mom stayed with me during that time. After those 12 days, she did sign the relinquishment papers, allowing me to be adopted. That same day, I went home with Russ and Lorraine, better known as Dad and Mom. So I've always known that I was adopted. At a very young age, they started sharing my adoption story with me, and they always presented it in a way where love was at the foundation of the story. I had an incredible childhood. There was times that I would even forget that I was adopted because I was never treated any differently. I knew that I belonged. I knew that that was my home, my family, and I knew that I was loved unconditionally, even through the teenage years. I've always enjoyed sharing my adoption story, but even more so now as a Christ follower. I grew up intermittently attending church, but my heart and my mind just weren't open to learning at that time. So as an adult in 2005, a coworker of mine invited me to come to church with her. And I declined a couple times and eventually went with her one Sunday morning. I did attend a few times after that, but ultimately stopped going. So it was in 2012, so 7 years later, when I was reading a children's Bible story to my daughter, Madison. When we got to the end of the story, she just asked me, she said, "Mama, is that a true story?" And I answered real easily. I said, "Yes, all the stories in the Bible are true." And that was enough for her. That was enough for her childlike faith to accept and just move on to the next activity. But I sat there for a little bit just thinking to myself, you know, do I really think that all the stories in the Bible are true? And if I do, then why am I not living my life according to what the Bible says? So soon thereafter, our family started going to Brazos Point. And my husband, myself, and our two oldest kiddos all stepped over the line of faith and were baptized. So my adoption journey has taught me about God's love in that He can take what we may consider a mess or a mistake, and He can weave beauty and grace and love into it. He can take the really hard situations, the really scary, and just make them beautiful nonetheless. So I've learned that I don't have to fully understand the situation in order to fully trust in Him. As a Christ follower, I can now look back on my life and see God's grace and mercy so clearly from the very, very beginning, really before I ever took my first breath. The peace I feel knowing that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, never unloved or unwanted. It's a peace that can be really hard to explain. I am fully known, and still He chooses to call me a child of God. I have been adopted and now belong to the kingdom of heaven. My adoption story isn't simply another love story, it's God's love story.
The story of Christmas, that Jesus Christ came to earth, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born to a virgin, adopted by an earthly father, is only part of the story of God's love. What makes the story complete is the fact that Jesus grew up, became a man, was a sinless man, and offered Himself as a sacrifice, as a substitution for us, and paid our death penalty when He died on a cross. And then He came back to life on Easter. You can't have the Christmas story of baby Jesus without the Easter story of Jesus' death and His resurrection. A childish way to think about faith would be Will Ferrell's Ricky Bobby character in Talladega Nights, who just insisted on saying grace to baby Jesus. "I like the baby version best. You hear what I'm saying?" That's a childish faith. But a childlike faith is realizing that Jesus wants to adopt you. Wants to adopt you into His forever family. When the Apostle Paul said adoption to sonship, he wasn't talking about being a boy or a girl or a son or a daughter. He was talking about receiving the full and absolute rights of adoption, that if you trust your life into Jesus' hands, that you'll inherit everything that is God the Father's. Christmas is children. Christmas is for children. Because the point of Christmas is that whoever believes in Jesus Christ, all of Him, the baby, the man, the Savior who died a substitutionary death on the cross for us, and the Son of God who came back to life on the day we call Easter. If you believe in Jesus, you can have your sins forgiven and become a child of God. The Holy Spirit enabled a young woman by the name of Mary, who was a virgin, to become pregnant. And together with her fiancé, Joseph, they, with childlike faith, believed and trusted in God's plan. That plan took them away from their hometown to a place called Bethlehem at the worst possible time in their lives right as she was about to give birth. And so it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, Jesus, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, the shepherds, he said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus is the Lord, Christ the Lord. He wants to be your Savior. He is your Savior for very many of you. Many of you have, with childlike faith, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You've admitted that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you've allowed his death on the cross to forgive your sins. But not all of you. Many more of you, I'm sure, have not yet stepped over the line of faith. You've not been adopted into God's family by believing in Jesus Christ, the full story of Jesus from birth to death to resurrection. Well, that's why you're here tonight. And God made special arrangements for you to be here. Now, many of you think that you probably made arrangements to be here, or maybe someone in your family made arrangements for you to be here, but I assure you, the planning was all God's, because if you haven't yet been adopted into Jesus' family, the fullness of time for you is right now. That's how much God loves you. And if he's speaking to your heart right now, he's spoken to so many of our hearts, as he spoke to Sam's heart, her husband, her children, then believe with that simple childlike faith the truth that Jesus is speaking into your heart right now. Put your trust in him. Step over the line of faith and become a follower. I can help you do that with a real simple prayer. You don't have to pray it out loud, but I can lead you in it. And if you believe in him, then you can have your sins forgiven. And you too can become a child of God. Would all of you bow your heads as I lead those of you that are ready to make that eternity-changing decision. Just pray along with me. Say something like this from your heart. Say, Jesus, I believe you are God's son. I believe you came into the world because you love me. I believe in all of you, Jesus, especially the part about taking my sins and paying for them on the cross. Please forgive my sins. Come into my heart. Take control of my life. Adopt me into your family. Let me experience that sonship and be a child of God. I ask that in the powerful name, your name, Jesus. Amen.